Welcome to worship on Sunday, the 22nd of November. Make a joyful noise, a noise of love and care.
Praise God with generosity and compassion.
Sing to the Lord with acts of kindness.
Give God glory and a mission of mercy.
Make a joyful noise, a noise of truth and grace.
Praise God with justice and righteousness.
Jesus Christ, our Sovereign, who is seated above all powers in the heavenly places, we worship you with gladness, for you are over all things, the head of the Church. Jesus Christ, Son of Man, who stands with us when we are hungry and sick, we give you thanks and bless your name. We come to you, you who are enthroned above all, even as you stand among us. And we thank you for your faithfulness to all generations. Amen. In the Christian calendar, today is the last Sunday of the year. Next Sunday sees the beginning of Advent, when the cycle of Christian events begin again. On this Sunday, many churches will celebrate the festival of Christ the King. How important it is for us today to see an image of authority that is not about competing forces trying to grab or hold power. On Christ the King Sunday, we have an opportunity to hold a vision of Christ that stands counter to the ways in which human authority operates. The centre of Christ's place in the world is in our hearts. When we worship in Christ's name, we offer worth to God. Psalm 95 invites us to stand in awe at the presence and greatness of God. The psalmist praises God Almighty, while reminding us of the tenderness of the Almighty towards us. at this present time, the opening words are challenging when they invite us to express feelings of joy. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Also, during the present pandemic, congregational singing and shouting is not encouraged. Even in normal times, the call to sing for joy raises its issues. We don't all like the same types of music. Some like traditional hymns, some prefer modern worship songs, some can't tell the difference. Not all of us are musically inclined. And even those who are recognised singers and musicians acknowledge that they are unlikely to perform a perfected masterpiece. The beauty of our music is not just in the precision of our notes, but in the passion of our hearts. Psalm 95 lists those things that are worth singing about: God's greatness, God's vastness, the height of God's goodness, God's earth and its beauty and wonder. And yet, as large, powerful, awesome, and good as God is, this God tenderly reminds us that we are the sheep of God's hand, with the provision of the pastures and the love of God's touch. We are blessed indeed. This is something to sing about. Listen to the words of Psalm 95, verses 1 to 7.
Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care.
Let us pray. Sovereign Christ, Shepherd King, you seek the lost and the hurting, the weary and those who have strayed. We can see you kneeling beside the injured, and we ask for your strong and tender hands to bind up our injuries and carry us to safety. We also ask your forgiveness when we have injured others and scattered the weak, when we have forgotten that we are your strong and tender hands in this world. Forgive us and renew us, that we may accomplish your saving work in the world. Amen. God's steadfast love endures forever. Because of this love, we are forgiven. Because of this love, we receive the rich and glorious inheritance of God's life and power. Through Jesus, our Sovereign, who sits at the right hand of God, we receive life beyond measure. Give thanks to God.
satisfies me never. Shepherd, may I sing your praise within your house forever.
The second reading is from Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46.
When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was ill, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was ill and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or ill or in prison, and did not help you?" And he will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life.
COVID-19 has had a deep impact on nearly every aspect of society, including how we do church. Our worship services have had to be adapted, and most churches have had to look at providing worship online. At this present time, we're not able to gather people together in groups for study, fellowship, or support. Since reading during the week this passage from Matthew 25, I've been thinking about the mission of the church, especially in the context of these unusual circumstances. The Anglican Communion states that the mission of the church is the mission of Christ, and has adopted 5 marks of mission. They are to proclaim the good news of the kingdom, to teach, baptize, and nurture new believers, to respond to human need by loving service, to transform unjust structures of society, to challenge violence of every kind and pursue peace and reconciliation, and to strive to safeguard the integrity of creation and sustain and renew the life of the earth. Most church members, whatever our denominational allegiance, could sign up to these marks of mission. But sometimes it's good to go back to first principles. In Matthew 25, what is noticeably clear is how we treat one another is so important. At this moment of judgment, how we have treated others matters. Jesus affirms those who have fed the hungry, given the thirsty something to drink, welcomed the stranger, clothed the naked, and visited the captive. But the most striking feature in the conversation between Jesus and those who did or did not support those around them is that they did not know. When was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you, they ask. Or for the others, when was it that they did not? These are works of neighbourly love, done or not done, because of a person's attitude towards fellow humans. They are the fruits of faith and the outpouring of our love of God. What we have in Matthew 25 verses 31 to 46 is a vision of the Last Judgment. And the purpose of the vision is not speculation about the end, or for the fascination of people who are intrigued by thoughts about the future or end times. Rather, the vision is a means of providing ethical and spiritual instruction. The heart of it is the coming of the Son of Man. His coming is not to the earth, but to the throne in heavenly glory. The scene is an enthronement, the Son of Man being installed as King and Judge. The vision is glorious in appearance, cosmic in scope, and yet it is personal in that every life must appear before the judgment seat. King of the poor, to whom belongs the kingdom of heaven. King of the sorrowful, who experience a comfort this world cannot give. King of the meek, who are destined to inherit the earth.
We thank you for your mercy and praise you for your enduring grace.
King of the hungry and thirsty, to whom were given heavenly bread and wine, King of the merciful, who receive far more than they ever give or expect, King of the pure of heart, who see God where others see wilderness and despair.
We thank you for your mercy and praise you for your enduring grace.
King of peacemakers, who receive the right to be called children of God, King of the persecuted, who rejoice to be counted worthy of suffering for Christ's sake.
We thank you for your mercy and praise you for your enduring grace.
Thanks be to you, God of Christ, our wounded King, for everything he has taught us, for the humble path he has shown us, and for all he has suffered for us and the whole world.
For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever.
Some would tell us that prayer is escape from reality. For us, it is a contract that deepens our responsibility for other people in this world.
We bring our prayers to you for the hungry and the thirsty, and for those who seek to relieve the suffering and build sustainable communities for the years to come.
We bring our prayers to you for those who are strangers and outsiders. May they find the nurturing power of respect and acceptance.
We bring our prayers to you for the homeless and the poorest people of the world, street children and powerless and dispirited communities. May we find the most ennobling way to assist them to a better life.
We bring our prayers to you for all who are sick and suffering, and for the care being given at home or in our hospitals or in the makeshift medical facilities in extremely poor countries. Help us to share surgical skills and medications across all countries and communities.
We bring to you our prayers for those in prison, for those who have committed crimes, but also any mistakenly convicted, and those who are prisoners of conscience. We pray too for prison officers, social workers, and chaplains.
Holy God, without you we can do nothing. With you we can achieve much more than we can ever see or measure. So give us the grace to play our small part thoughtfully and compassionately in relieving the sufferings of the world. Through Christ Jesus, our Saviour. Amen.
Proclaim him King of Kings, we live.
Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.